So I'm going to try this microphone again. Someone just said, oh, look, it's Tiffany. I'm not going to say who said that. So we've been fighting with this mic for probably a year and a half or 2 years. And so this week we decided we're just going to have to get a new one. So we called. I called the technology sound guy that was assigned to me at Sweetwater, and I said, here's what's going on. We need a new mic. He started explaining things to me. And in the conversation, he talked about needing to get this really nice high-dollar system because cell phones interfere with a signal that this thing is sending back there, so all of the cell phones in between there screw with it, mess with it. Because on sun, like if I come in here, it's so frustrating, it screws around with the signal, messes around with it. So thank you, Tony. So Sunday mornings, I would come in here and I'd get it on. Everything would work just fine. And then once service got here, you know, it gets glitchy. You can't hear a thing I'm saying. And so I have to get a new one. So I called someone who was an expert. And I said, here's what's happening. I think we need a new one. And this expert tells me something. And I'm like, oh, thanks. So I took the receiver from back there, and it's right here now. So all of your little cell phone things don't, we don't even care anymore. It's just going from here to there. So I had a problem, and I felt hopeless. Like, this is going to hurt. But I called somebody who I thought might be able to help, and they said, well, have you thought of this? And in that, it might seem like a little thing to you, but it's a big deal. Because we take care to spend wisely whatever money we need to spend on things. We try to do it wisely. And so if we don't have to, let's not spend that money. And then I said, here's the issue. Can you help me? Yeah, sure. So I went to an expert. So there's hope. Sometimes when we deal with problems, we feel like we are in a lot of pain. That's a pregnant belly. And sometimes we would ask ourselves, why in the world would a lady willingly let something grow inside of her body? And I will adamantly say that something is a child, it's a life. Why would a person willingly allow this change to occur so that this one nice, trim, fit belly that, you know, you're no pooch, nothing. Looks great. Why would you allow that to be stretched and look like a spider has just come and drawn designs on your stomach? And why would you go through that? And then whenever it's time, why would you allow yourself to go through what you have to go through to get that thing out? Because... yeah. Why would you do this? Because, you know, there are some nice times early on when you're like, oh, I feel the butterfly. Oh, it flutters. This is great. But that goes away. And then you're like, oh, I keep burping up stomach acid. No matter how I sit, I'm not comfortable. I can't sleep like this anymore. I've got to sleep like this. Then my hip hurts. We can go through the list of problems. And you know it's going to happen. So why do you do it? You do this because you know that something else will happen once you've gone through all this stuff. We like to talk about the wonders. It's a blessing to have a child. It is. It's not pleasant. But you do it because you know something else will happen that will change your life in a good way. And so women, thankfully, go through pregnancy and endure pregnancy because they want to bring life where there was no life before. I already see light bulbs coming on. I love it when that happens. So we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29 today. And And that's like in the Old Testament. So at the beginning of the Bible, it's actually almost halfway through the Bible. Yeah, more than halfway. If you're not sure where it is, at the very beginning of your Bible, there's a list of all the books, and it'll tell you a page number. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to be looking at something that God told the people of Israel who felt desperate. They were miserable, and God tells them something. Then William Barclay, I'm just citing a source, you don't have to know who he is. He's a smart guy. He said there are two great days in a person's life. So you have two great days, like life-changing events in your life. The day we are born is a great day. And then the day we discover why we were born is the next great day. A lot of times people walk through life and they know they're born, but sometimes they live all 120 years, will be, you know, whatever it is. They live their entire life just living, but never really knowing, this is why I'm alive. And when you live with a purpose, when you discover this is why God created Ben Muncy, not just people in general, but God created Ben Muncy for this. When you learn that or you discover that, it changes your life. Hopefully you will do what I didn't do. You will say, oh, okay, God, I will do what you have asked me to do and never turn away from it. Unfortunately, for me and for some of us, we have learned what God wants us to do. And we have said, yes, but I don't really like that. And that's because we start off with an idea, this is what God wants, but we don't really own it. I know God wants that for me, but I don't want that for me, so it's not mine because of what we think God will do. And the Israelites did this too. They knew they had plenty of historical records, plenty of godly people around them for a long time saying, this is what God wants you to do, and this is what God has for you to do, but the Israelites, and I'm not just picking on them because we are all guilty of this, but the Israelites would say, yeah, that's what God wants me to do, but I have a different plan. And so they never owned the purpose God had for them. And because of that, they tried to do their own thing their own way. And even as quickly as a couple weeks after God had delivered them from slavery, if you remember the story of Moses, I don't know if you've seen the cartoon of Moses or Charlton Heston's version of Moses, where, you know, God brings them out of slavery and God says, stand right here and I'm going to do something that's going to blow your socks off. I'm like, okay. And then they almost die, and then God parts the Red Sea and it's like, see, I told you. So these crazy, incredible things had just happened. And the Israelites got through all of that, and just a few days later, you would think they would still remember that some creator of the universe just did these incredible things, and we're going to, like, do what he says, but they didn't. They're like, thanks. Can you build us an idol made out of gold shaped like a calf? Because we'd really like to worship that. And it's easy for us to stand back and criticize them for being so incredibly stupid, because that'd be like, well, you know. So God just delivered them from everything and did some incredible miracles, and they're like, thanks, we're going to go over here and worship this piece of gold that's just standing there. Doesn't make any sense. And it's easy to criticize them until I start looking at my own life and I start seeing this is what God has done. These are the opportunities God has brought into my life, and I have taken those opportunities and made a sharp right turn many times. And so while we can pick on them, and it's easy to pick on other people for doing stupid things because it's so obvious to us, the best thing for me to do is take this book and pretend like it's a mirror and look at my own life and say, are there times in my life where God has said, this is what I have for you? But then gone on a hard right turn. Because the Israelites did that. They came up with their own idea, and God kept saying, that's not where I want you. Please go this direction. That's not where I want you. Please go this. And he really was like, please. We we expect God to strike them dead. God, that's what we want God to do to other people when they mess up. Get them. When it's us, we're like, oh, please have mercy. God continued to have mercy to the point where he said, I have done everything that I can do, and you are refusing to learn the way I want you to learn, so I'm going to allow you to deal with the consequences of your own decision. That's what God said to them. I have tried, you continue to reject me, so this is what you would be like on your own. And he lets them go on their own. And they quickly get captured by much stronger countries, and they are taken off as slaves. This is where Jeremiah happens. The Israelites are slaves again. They got out of it once, and now they're back. And they're slaves again. And they're like, somebody please help us. Somebody please help us. And we're going to read Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's start in verse 5. Jeremiah 29, verse 5. So the Israelites are wanting to escape from Babylon. That's where they're prisoners. They're wanting to get out of there. And this is what God tells them. Chapter 29, verse 5. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens, eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to the husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Are you kidding me? Seek the welfare of the city where we are slaves. Pray to the Lord on their behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. The Lord says, do not let your prophets, oh, this is where it gets really funny. Don't let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years, really? 70 years. When 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back from this place. And here it is. It's in this context. I'm going to pause for just a second. We read this verse. Once you're around church a while and you start reading Christian stuff, you'll see this verse a lot. I don't want you to forget what happens before we get to this verse. God put that verse 11. He put all this other stuff before it for a reason. He says, this is where you are. This is what you need to do to deal with it. And then he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your good and not for calamity, plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations, from all the places I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place where I sent you into exile. It's good stuff. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us hope, and I ask that you would take the words you have given us and you would cause them to bring hope into our lives. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. So the funny part that I read about this first is when Jeremiah is telling him, this is what God says. Don't listen to any of your preachers. That's what he tells them. They call them prophets and diviners or diviners, however you want to pronounce it. Jeremiah says, don't listen to them. Because what they're doing tell me if this sounds familiar. Come here, come to my church, give your tithes, and God will make you rich. Come here and serve God and give your tithes, and you'll never get sick. If If you do get sick, it's because you don't have enough faith. Have more faith, you'll never get sick. If you really loved God, He would keep you safe from all problems. So what you need is to love God more and your problems will go away. If you just have enough faith, then nothing bad will ever happen to you. So if bad things are happening, you need more faith. I'm filtering right now. That's a bunch of hogwash. And the Israelites were being told things by their preachers. This is what God wants for you. This is what's best. And He says, don't listen to their dreams because they are causing their own dreams. It's a cool thing. It was a cool thing to go to sleep at night and have a dream and then be able to wake up and say, God has given me a dream. He is going to restore our fortunes. He's going to send us home. He's going to make everything wonderful. And the Jeremiah says, don't listen to them. Actually, what's going to happen is you're going to be here for another 70 years. So you might as well just build a family. He says, build your house, plant your garden. I know it's not your property and you won't own it, but plant it anyways. Have kids, raise them here, and then he got ridiculous. He said, pray for the people who have taken you prisoner. That's the dumbest thing I have ever heard. Why would I ask God to bless people that are doing things that are harmful? Duh. No. So Jeremiah the prophet comes and completely contradicts what they're hearing from everybody else. And God says, don't listen to them. They're making these their own dreams. Just like us. When I was taking Spanish class, I took a few years of it, and I was really like soaking it in. There came a point where I started dreaming in Spanish. I did not wake up and say, God has just given me the gift of tongues. I dreamed in Spanish. What happened was, I had gotten my head so consumed with the Spanish language that I started thinking in my dreams in Spanish. So it wasn't God. It was I had immersed myself in Spanish. Some of us, not us, some people think that God is speaking things to them because they have dreams or visions about them. But really what it is self-absorption. I want something so badly that I don't have and I can't find a way to get it, but I'm so obsessed with it, I can't think of anything else. I'm just locked onto this one thing. And then one night I have this dream that I get it, and it must be from God. And Jeremiah says, don't listen to those dreams. That's not from God. It's your own self-absorption. Here's what God's going to do. So when I start applying this to my own life, if I'm using the Bible as a mirror, I say, okay, Ben, are there areas in your life where you have become so obsessed, like you put your blinders on and you have such great tunnel vision that you can't see anything but this dream of your own? Is God trying to tell you something else, but you're so deaf to everything else because you don't want to hear it? All you will listen to and look at is what fits your own goal. And Jeremiah says, stop listening to those. There are people in the Christian business. And that sounds hard to say, sounds harsh. But there are people who are Christians because it's good business. I know if I tell people what they want to hear, they will like it and they will come back and say, tell me again. And if you tell them what they want to hear, then they're more willing to give you what you want too. So it's like this trade. I'll tell you that if you'll come and be a part of this church, and if you'll make a commitment to serve for 6 months, after that 6 months is over, God will bless you in a way you could never imagine. I'll tell you that. And you've got to tithe. Make sure you're giving your money. Now, I believe in serving. And I believe and practice tithing. It's very important. But when people start manipulating you to get something for themselves, that's not God. Unfortunately, some people who are desperate fall victim to that. That's why telemarketers still call senior adults and still say the IRS is going to take you to jail if you don't send us, go to Walmart and get a Visa card for $900 and send it to this address, or else they're going to come and arrest you. And I'm picking on senior adults. That was in the news recently. So we're more likely to fall victim because once you retire and your income is fixed, you think, oh no, if I lose that, I won't be able to live. And I don't have any other options. So I fall victim to things that wouldn't normally make sense, but because of a desperate situation, I'll do it. I worked at Illinois Farm Bureau. It's called Country Financial. And there was a guy that I knew and I worked with. He was in a different region, but I worked with him and watched him. He came to our meetings, and he was a new agent just like me. We started right about the same time. But this guy, instead of just meeting his quotas, and your insurance agents, they have quotas. They have to sell you certain things or else they get penalized. So he was not just meeting his quotas. He was like blowing the doors off of them. He would go to a meeting for one insurance sale, or sometimes not even a sale. And I remember the time he came to our meeting, he said, yeah, I went in to that person and sold them 6 insurance policies on their grandchildren. And he was a superstar, like in the entire company. Everybody knew this guy's name, because he was able to get people to do things that the rest of us weren't like, really, like, how are you doing this? It was great. Till right about the year mark, then people started figuring out, this guy has oversold me. He sold me things I don't need. And he said I can afford it, but I really don't have it to pay. And he sold me a life insurance product, but presented it as an investment product. And just in case you don't know, life insurance is not an investment. And anybody that sells that to you is breaking the law. But he was doing this because they wanted someone to tell them, if you die, everything will be taken care of. And if you'll put your money right here, then you'll have this, well, I can't call it an investment, but it'll grow and grow and you'll be just fine. So they needed to hear something and they found someone that would tell it to them. So they bought in. And then at about the year mark, his world started falling apart when people figured this out, and then he got fired. Because people figure out when you're blowing smoke. It might take them a while. And that's what the prophets were doing until Jeremiah came and said this. And so I have to look at my own life and say, am I so desperate in some areas that I am willing to listen to whoever will tell me what I want to hear? Yeah. I talk about rifles all the time. Ben, you need that rifle. They're legal now. You can't have just one. You might need to have one in each hand. So buy that rifle, Ben. Silly example, but we do these things. 10 people will say, no, you don't need that. But if one person says, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Well, good. I'm glad I've got some good, wise advice from one person. Everybody else is an idiot, I guess. And we do this in our own lives. And Jeremiah says, stop listening to these people who are just telling you what you want to hear. Here's what's going to happen. This is where you are. So this is where you have to plan on living. Get your head out of the clouds and live right here and right now. And sometimes that's not fun. But Jeremiah said, he doesn't tell them, well, just live in your little old shack. I was trying to think of an adjective. Just live in your little shack and mourn your days away. He doesn't say that. He does say you're going to be captives for a while, but while you are here, build your home. Plant your gardens. Build your families. These are all good things. So you don't have to be in the mindset of, oh, I'm miserable because I'm not exactly where I want to be. God says you are where you are because this is where I have determined you need to be. While you're here, live. And then he says, there's coming a time when things are going to change. This is when we get to verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, plans for your good and not for your calamity, plans to give you a hope and a future. So God just said, right here's where you are. Just live right here. But there's coming a time when things are going to change. Because I have a plan, and where you are right now is a part of that plan. I have plans for your hope, for hope for you and for your future. And he says, here's what's going to happen. When this time comes, you're going to start to seek me with all of your heart. And when you look for me with all of your heart, you will find me. That's kind of a churchy metaphor. Here's what he means. Sometimes we say, God, I want you to do this in my life. I have this section of my life right here that I want you to take care of. I'm good right here. Please do not disturb. But right here, there is a picture of a woman with a do not disturb sign on her belly button. That's why that popped up. It was funny, but so don't mess with this. But right here, I want you to deal with this, please. That's how most of us live our lives. Don't touch this. This is the way I want it, but I don't have any control over this, or it's a mess, so please fix it. And God said, when you get to the point where you say, God, here is everything I have, show me what you are doing and how I can use everything the way you want us to use it. He said, when you open yourself, open up your life, your entire life to me, then you'll see. So don't compartmentalize me, because we're pretty good at that. When you seek me with all of your heart, then it's going to make sense. God doesn't make sense when I say you can have this, but don't touch this. Because I'm trying to rectify. I'm looking for synchronism. I have these words floating through my head. I'm trying to get these two things to mesh together when they are not supposed to work together. Selfishness and serving God are not the same thing. But I try to force them together, and when I do that, I live in confusion. And God says, when you will back off and say, everything is yours, show me what you want. When you seek me with all of your heart, then you will find me. Then it'll make sense. Oh, okay. God's going to ask me to work in the nursery. He's going to send me to Africa. He's going to tell me that I've got to sell my 52-inch TV and get a 13-inch. He's going to tell me, and I start down this list of things, well, if I serve God with all of my heart, then I won't get what I want. You might not get what your temporary satisfaction wants, but God said, when you seek me with all of your heart, I am going to remove you from the land of captivity, and I'm going to take you to the place that I originally wanted you to be, your own home, your own land, your own crops, if you want to go. And the nice thing about God is he will not force you to serve him. He might force you to do something that helps someone else who is serving him. That might be confusing. Let me stop for a second. You don't have to serve God. You don't have to do it. But just because you refuse to serve God doesn't mean he's not going to shift your life around a little bit. Because I might be saying, no, God, I will not do that. And he'll say, fine, then I'm going to move you over here because someone else has said yes, and I'm going to put them there. God still does things in my life when I refuse to obey him. But when I say, yes, I will serve you with all of my heart, he'll say, all right, this is what I have for you. And he'll take us out of this mental captivity, and he'll put us home. I don't know if you've ever lived somewhere that you felt like unsettled. I live here. This is where my house is. I hang the pictures of the family on the wall. I mow the grass, I know them, I do this. but I'm unsettled. And then, in November of 2013, you get a phone call that says, hey, there's this little town. And then you go there, and in your interview, they ask what you care about, and you're like, guns and trucks. And they're like, great! They're like, I might be home. When you say, okay, God, I will do anything in any area, when you seek him with all of your heart, then he will take you from captivity and take you back home. Not just a place you live, but he'll give you a home. There is hope for people who feel like, I'm not settled. I'm here, but this isn't where I belong. Not just physically, but in life. This is where I am, but I don't belong here. Seek God with all of your heart and allow him to remove you from captivity and build a home for you. And in addition to that, so that's right here, but also what happens is the long-term permanent, what we sing about a lot today is, I have sought God with all of my heart. I completely belong to him. And there will come a day when God says, this is how the Bible puts it, when all's done and you know, he has the gavel in his hand. That's how we sometimes picture God. He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation. Come home. I have hope on two fronts. That when I seek God with all of my heart, he will help me deal with where I am right now. And he has a plan to put me home where I belong when I am fully committed to him. So my request today is, if you haven't done that, today would be a great day to say, God, I have no locked doors in my life. You have open access to every area of my life. Show me what your plan is, and I will start doing it. It's an option. If you can close your eyes and stand, we're going to pray, if you're able. We're going to pray. And you know, I'm not big on long drawn out. I'm not trying to move you emotionally. But if somebody here says today, I don't want any locked doors in my life anymore. I want God to have open access. I'm going to pray out loud for a few minutes, just a couple minutes. And if you say, that's me, and I want to make a commitment to God today, you're welcome to come pray right here. Or you can grab somebody you know and love and say, hey, can you pray with me? We're going to do that, and then we're going to close in a song. Let's pray together. I thank you, God, for giving us a reason to trust you. I thank you for all the times in my life where you have shown I can still trust you. Whatever you want to do in my life still, if I have any area that I'm ignoring or I have blocked off, please show me. I want you to have full access to me. And for any one of us here, if it's us here or our kids that we are praying for, I ask that you would speak to us, breathe your life into our lives so that we will know to trust you. Help us to have confidence in who you are right now and the plans you have for us. And we know and we accept your hope. And it's in the name of Jesus who made this possible. We ask. Amen. If our musicians will come forward and our singers, we have a new song we're going to sing. And if there's anything you need to do right now, you can. We're just going to close with this song. And if you still want to go grab somebody and pray, or if you just want to sing, that's good too. It's new, so you don't have to know it, but it fits perfectly with what we've been talking about today. It's called Sing to the King, and if you went on the ladies' retreat, you sang this with them. He's coming again, and hopefully we get to be a part of the crowd of people that he welcomes home.